Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This seminar is called Are You Having Fun Yet? And is the third in my series on career development. We'll explore the importance of never abandoning the search for work and clients that truly engage your interests. Success requires more than talent. Among other things, it requires drive, initiative, commitment, involvement, and above all, enthusiasm. Yet surprisingly, these things are often missing from many people's lives. Consider the following quiz that I've conducted around the world for many years now. Think back, I ask, on all the work you've done in the past year or so and divide it into one of three categories. The first category is, God, I love this. This is why I train to do what I do. It gives me a positive emotional charge every time I get a chance to do this. The second category is, I can tolerate it. It's what I do for a living. I'm conscientious and responsible, and I'll do it properly. But I don't really care that it's this piece of work versus next month's piece of work. The last category is, I hate this part. I wish I could get rid of this junk. Estimate your answers to this question. Figured it out? Then let me report the results of putting this question to people around the world. The typical answers I'm given are 20 to 25% for God, I love this, 60 to 70% for I can tolerate it, and 5 to 20% for I hate this part. In other words, the typical person, even senior people in top firms, is positively enjoying his or her work about a day a week. Now a second question. Think about all the people you have to serve in the past year. Customers, clients, other departments in your organization, and again, divide them into one of three categories. Category one is, I like these people I serve, and their industry interests me. Yes, I know I'm combining two things there. Category two is, I can tolerate these people, and their business is okay. It's neither fascinating nor boring. I don't really care that it's this client versus next month's client. And category three is, I'm professional enough that I would never say this to them, and I still do my best for them, but the truth is, these are not my kind of people, and I've got no real interest in this. Ready to compare results? Typical answers from top people around the world are 30 to 35% for I like these people, 50 to 60% for I can tolerate them, and 15 to 20% for I don't really care for them. Now, I must stress that these are not my opinions, but what individuals in top drawer firms tell me about their work lives. In fact, you know, it's not unknown for some people to tell me that they only actually like their customers or clients 5 to 10% of the time, or at least really like them. Now, these reports that people give me about their work lives are amazing to me. What's astounding is not that the numbers are necessarily low, but that the people aren't currently working to do something about it. Why would you want to spend the majority of your working life on tolerable stuff for acceptable clients when, with some effort in, for example, client relations or marketing and selling, you could spend your days working on exciting things for interesting people? Some people are reluctant to push themselves forward and wait for other people to determine what they will work on. They wait to be assigned work. This is a disaster. If you don't reach out and take control of what you're working on, then you'll end up like the people in my survey, enjoying what they do about a day a week and serving people they like for about the same proportion of time. Ask yourself, are you really prepared to spend the rest of your working life with those numbers? As far as I know, I have only one life to live, and I'm not going to accept those proportions. I'm not going to reach my tombstone with it saying he did tolerable work for tolerable people because they paid him. There's a word for that, and it's not one I want applied to me. Yet many people do live their lives that way. They say, don't expect me to care, but if you pay me, I'll do it, and I'll fake it if you want me to. I'm not going to accept a life like that. I'm going to do something about it. There's one big secret about careers, and it's this. The better you are at marketing yourself, the better the chance you have to choose to work on stuff that you think is fun, and the less trapped you become in being forced to take on work and clients that you don't truly enjoy simply because you've got to feed the baby. However, I must report a common reaction amongst many people when they hear the percentages that I just gave is to think that those percentages are inevitable. Many people think that they accurately measure how much excitement work life has to offer. Most of work is routine, and most of the clients are uninteresting, I'm told. My reaction is, I'll readily concede that there's boring work for dull clients out there, but the question is, why do you have to do it? The next sentence I hear is, but do I have a choice? The answer is, of course you do. Unless you dislike all customers and clients and all of their work, in which case you should reconsider your chosen profession, we are only talking about getting your engine started and beginning to work at influencing what you work on, investing in your career. It's surprising that so many people seem ready to give up hope. At one of the most profitable elite law firms in the United States, I started to pose my questions, asking, what percentage of your clients would you say that you really liked? The room broke into laughter as if the question was absurd. It became clear that many people do not expect to like their clients or customers. Now, the issue here is not an ethical or a moral one, that you should like your clients and your work, but rather that it is possible to like at least some of them, and that it is within every person's power to influence which clients you work for and what you do for them, and that it matters terribly. To see why this is so important, consider this question. If you love what you do and the people you do it for only about a day a week, do you think the people you serve can tell? Can your clients tell? Can your boss tell? And if they can tell, what do you think that means for the chances of getting paid well, being given additional challenging opportunities, being referred to other people? It should be clear that if you resign yourself to accepting the low numbers, they will become a self-fulfilling theory. The less passion and interest you feel in your work, the fewer good opportunities for new things will come your way. It could be argued that in spite of the potential for fun, excitement, and fulfillment, it is firm management policies that induce the dissatisfaction and lethargy I described above. In too many firms, it's argued, the only relevant measurement criterion is how busy you are, and considerations of whether one actually enjoys one's work is irrelevant at best. Many organizations' approach to marketing is non-discriminating. All new business is good business. And that leads to an environment where considerations of current cash overwhelm issues of job fulfillment. But here's the point. Perverse, dysfunctional, short-term firm systems may exist, but they're not the key issue. Yes, the firm's management and culture may be to blame. But by waiting for the firm to change first before you reach out to change your work life is to cheat only yourself. Why don't more people reach out to take control of their own business development and get both of the benefits of a work life, cash and fun? Done right, there is not a trade-off here for the individual. You'll stay just as busy and make as much money, probably more, working on exciting stuff for clients you like as you will on the dull stuff for uninteresting clients. And any organization would reward that just as highly. The virtuous circle extends to marketing itself. You will be more successful marketing to clients you like on issues that interest you than you will be trying to sell to clients you don't care for on stuff you can barely tolerate. So firm pressure to stay busy or to sell does not, in my view, explain the situation. Clearly, there's some sense of helplessness as if the situation were inevitable. Many people I meet seem to have given up on the dream that work life can be fulfilling. In discussing this topic, I've heard many times the phrase, "It's a job. What more can you expect?" For me, this choice of phrase is telling. In trying to explain what makes professional life different from other careers, I've always tried to assert that whilst other people may seek jobs, one of the defining characteristics of a professional is that professionals seek careers. Evidently, my assumption is false, at least as far as many people are concerned. Apparently, they've settled into the it's a job mode. I've been explicitly told by many good, smart people that they don't expect to find passion in their work lives. Their fulfillment comes from their families, their hobbies, or their home lives. They no longer expect to find it at work. Maybe they're right, but they will certainly not find fulfillment if they've already given up in the belief that it can happen. Many, it turns out, are victims of their own past success. There exists in many organizations a number of people who got to where they are by being good soldiers, keeping their head down, putting in vast numbers of hours on work, abdicating control over their own work lives to the machine, and never being required to demonstrate individual initiative. And they got used to it. Life in many large organizations often breeds a helpless sense of lack of personal control over one's work life. And it is therefore not surprising that so many find the concept of choice and personal control a foreign notion. Still, I'm surprised. The attitude of many I meet is, why should I even try? Building a career, investing yourself, requires things that are risky and time-consuming, and my organization doesn't support or reward efforts, only successes. And since I'm rewarded primarily from current output, that's what I focus on. To me, such sentiments reflect a mentality as short-term and as perverse as the firm's. Of course the organization needs to change, but if you wait for that to happen, you'll wait till hell freezes over. And meanwhile, you live a less fulfilling life. To me, this reflects an abdication of responsibility for one's own future. For many, part of the paralysis that I observe derives from a profound misunderstanding of what marketing and selling is all about. As I tried to show in my podcast series on marketing professional services, being good at getting hired involves nothing more than a sincere interest in clients and their problems and a willingness to go out and spend the time being helpful to them. If you really are interested in a particular type of client or customer and clearly demonstrate both your ability and willingness to help them, getting hired has no magic to it. The biggest trouble for many people is that they haven't taken the time to figure out who they do like. You don't have to like every client. Indeed, that's the whole point. It's impossible. You can't. Hence the need arises to think through who do you like and to structure a plan to get more of their work and the work of clients like them. Step one in achieving a high percentage of God, I love this work and I really like them customers means that one needs to reflect on what one loves and why. Figure this out now. And make a plan to get more of this work and these clients in the next year, and more the year after that. If you can't figure it out, if you really don't like anything or anybody, you've got really serious problems. So what do you do in the interim? What if, for the moment, you're stuck doing work that doesn't turn you on? In such cases, I'm reminded of the song lyric by Steve Stills, "If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with." Part of the art of achieving a fulfilling work life is always seeing the angle that makes it a challenge, the view of it that makes it fun. Loving what you do is sometimes less an inherent characteristic of the work itself and more a reflection of the frame of mind you bring to your tasks. So where does all this leave us? With a simple but powerful conclusion. The missing element in many people's lives is the most important. They sometimes have the income, the prestige, the title, and the standing. What many people don't have is the fulfillment and the fun, and they're not doing anything about it. When one reviews who's successful and happy among people, it quickly emerges that it's got nothing to do with IQ, where you went to school, or what training you received. To those who succeed are those who can recapture the magic and the excitement they felt when they were first setting out to build a career and were willing to work to make it happen. All it takes to find the fun is energy, ambition, drive, and enthusiasm. So scarce are these characteristics that they are today the dominant competitive advantage for both individual and for organizations. Enthusiasm and involvement are the keys. And yes, you can do something about your life. You are not powerless. Remember, the point of life is to be happy. All other goals, money, fame, status, responsibility, achievement, are merely ways of making you happy. They're worthless in themselves. If you're not enjoying your work, then do something about it. This concludes Are You Having Fun Yet?, the third seminar in my series on career development. Coming up soon, watching your asset, minding your manners, and learning to manage. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set, from my website, davidmaister.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.